Hi, I'm Evan Lucas-Cunningham, and welcome to the Feel Better Every Day podcast, helping you connect with and take better care of yourself and create a life you don't need to retreat from. Welcome to episode 19 of the Feel Better Every Day podcast. Today's guest is the powerhouse, Karen Falconer, formerly Karen Moxham. She is the she runs ANLP, the Association of NLP, and she's been my editor at Rapport magazine since I started working with her on the editorial team in 2007. Here she's talking about a pretty intense morning routine. It works for her. She chooses to get up at 4:30 in the morning on purpose, and she has lots to say on ways in which she exercises her brain, her soul, her body. I love listening to her. She's a wonderful human, and I hope you enjoy this as much as I did. So welcome, Karen Falconer. And I paused because you changed your name, but thank you so much for joining me for the Feel Better Every Day podcast.
You're very welcome. Thank you for inviting me.
So I remember meeting you. I was fairly newly freelance, and I've been writing for Rapport. I've been part of the editorial team since 2007. But what I really remember about meeting you was it didn't feel like a meeting. It was just like you were so delightful. And it was like, oh, and it kind of changed the way I did all my work then, because I moved towards what felt good and away from all the stuffy things that didn't.
Yes, no, I do understand that one. Thank you. I didn't realise that was an influence that I had. So
absolutely,
thank you.
Absolutely, yeah. And you're the author of The NLP Professional, and you recently did a revised edition. And of course, I mentioned that you edit Rapport magazine, but I can see in your background as well, you run the Association for NLP, Neuro-Linguistic Programming. So how long have you been doing this, and what are you working on at the moment?
So I've been running the association since 2005. It seems like it was only yesterday, but 2005. Projects we're working on at the moment. There's a very big project that's been going on for an awful long time around accreditation and assessment and that sort of thing for NLP certifications. Probably the most intense project right this minute is the NLP conference, which tends to go in cycles. And we've just this week announced to the presenters that they are presenting at the conference. So there's a big flurry of we need to get the program ready to promote to everybody, but there's also a big flurry with all the presenters providing us with information, booking their chats and all that sort of thing. So it's all very exciting.
Wonderful. And I'd love to hear about how you look after yourself with such a busy life. I'm remembering going back years and years and years, you used to, and I think you still do, you'd have like an automated telling people when you check your emails on your emails. I'd love to hear about your like morning self-care, what you do to take care of yourself, both if you had all the time in the world, your ideal, and what you actually do, and also your regular self-care, and also if you connect with that highest, wisest, truest, wildest, most joyful, brilliant and miraculous self.
That's assuming all those things to be true.
Ideal, remember? Yeah. Ideal.
That's definitely something I do on a daily basis.
Yeah.
It's very much part of my routine. I mean, to fit this into my routine, I do get up around 4:30. And it's a natural. It's because once upon a time I had an alarm. Uh-huh. Up at 4:30, and then that was waking Cash, my husband, and disturbing him. So I trusted my wisest, truest, higher self that because this is such an important part of my day, it will naturally get me up. So it naturally wakes me up. I naturally wake up sometime between 4 and 5.
Wow.
And I've got to the stage now where whatever time I wake up between 4 and 5 is when I will then start my routine. So I sneak out of the bedroom quietly in my yoga gear. I don't sleep in my yoga gear. I get dressed into my yoga gear and do all those basic morning routine things that everybody hopefully does in the morning, clean my teeth.
Can you say, I mean, strategy, literally share if you're happy as much as you want?
Yeah, so my strategy is I go straight in the bathroom, clean my teeth, freshen up, get changed into my yoga gear, come downstairs. I'm so lucky that I have a dedicated space.
Yeah.
That when I built the extension in 2015, built the dedicated space, which is known to everybody as the tranquility room.
Oh.
And that tranquility room is my yoga space, it's my meditation space, it's also the craft space where I, the grandchildren and I, we sit and do crafts and painting and drawing and stuff like that. But first, at 4:30 in the morning, when the world is very quiet, me and the dog, and quite often the cat, we retire into the tranquility room, and I light the candles, whatever time of year, I light the candles, and I repeat my daily mantra, which are my highest desires.
Yeah.
I draw cards from two different decks.
Uh-huh.
My friendly tarot deck. I think it's called the Good Tarot, but it is a proper tarot set.
Yeah.
But it's good tarot. So there's no doom and gloom with the Tower and the Hanged Man. There's still a positive spin on it.
Divine detox.
Divine, yeah, exactly. And I also have my my priestess alchemy, mm-hmm. which are the 13 archetypes, and I know that deck like the back of my hand, so I know that card. I kind of know what it is.
Yeah.
But then, as part of that routine, I then cut out a little picture of the cards because I have all the printouts, and I look in the books and I pick the words of wisdom for that day relating to those cards.
Uh-huh.
About a few other bits and pieces, because I have this sort of monthly archetype that I move with the moon cycle, and a couple of friends in the States, we still move with that monthly moon cycle, which is the archetype influencing this particular moon.
Yeah.
So I journal a little bit around what I'm embracing and releasing.
Absolutely.
For this particular moon, and it's based on those archetypes. I will then exercise my brain, because I hit a milestone birthday this year and figured that I really need to start. I mean, I want to continue working on keeping the brain active.
Yep.
So I do on apps now. It used to be on bits of paper, but I do my Sudoku. I do my spider card thing. And I'm also doing Italian on Duolingo.
Brilliant.
So, I'm attempting to learn Italian. That's certainly stretching the brain cells. When I've had a go at that, I mean, I don't touch social media or anything. That's my first contact with my phone I do Insight Timer. So meditations from Insight Timer as part of that routine before I move on to the more practical Sudoku. And then I'll be checking the clock and around 5:30, 5:45, depending on the time of year, because now it's getting darker in the mornings, I'll be keeping an eye on the light, and I'll do my yoga next. So I've got a brilliant app for yoga, which I discovered during lockdown. So I do between 15 and 20 minutes of yoga every day.
Lovely.
So I kind of figured that adds up to 2+ hours a week. Although I'm about to go and join the school for a yoga class, and I'm thinking, can I actually do an hour in one go? That could be quite interesting.
Yeah, you can, because it's paced.
Yes, and they're young children, so hopefully it will be fine. So I do my 15, 20 minutes of yoga, and at the moment then I walk the dog. My aim is always to walk the dog at sunrise.
Oh.
So because we have a park 3 doors down, and the sun is stunning. So depending on the time of year, that morning routine changes, because at 4:30 in the morning in the height of summer, that is sunrise, so the dog gets walked first before everything else. But it's really important to me that where I can, I'm walking the dog at sunrise to just be in that gratitude of nature and see. And it's nowhere near as beautiful as where you live, Eve, in Ireland. However, it's our own little patch of beauty here in Hemel Hempstead in Hertfordshire.
It and sounds gorgeous. And you just, when you said about sunrise, you got a burst of sunlight on you as you said it. You was like, yep, she honours me.
I'm here. And actually, I mentioned the gratitude for the nature, but actually that is part of my daily journaling, is my gratitude. So I identify at least three things that brought me joy the previous day and three things that I'm grateful for every day.
Wonderful. So I'm kind of relieved because I have a really lengthy, I need, everyone's been different, but I still want to ask you if you could only do, like, if you didn't have the energy, if you weren't well, if things were going on, what would be your essential?
So I have, you know, conference time when suddenly time is short. I will still do my best to do all of that. But the things I tend to end up dropping, especially at the conference, if we're actually at the conference, so I don't have the dog walk piece to do. I will still do, even if it's 5 minutes of yoga.
Absolutely.
5 minutes of yoga, and I will draw the cards. If I don't get to do the journaling piece, I will draw the cards and I will note what the cards are so that I know what my influences are for the day. And I can go back and do the journaling around it later.
So
the cards, 5 minutes of yoga, they're kind of the key things.
Wonderful. And I was going to ask about later in the day and also winding down for bed. And I'm intrigued with your 4:30 starts. What time are you going to bed? Like, do you get enough sleep? You're not sacrificing sleep now, are you?
Well, I, to be honest, I've always been one of those people that I've never needed the 8 hours.
Okay.
So that's quite lucky. However, we do, I mean, we are early to bed, early to rise. We're normally, I mean, my winding down routine is much, much more practical and less spiritual. It's, you know, even if we've gone to choir or something like that, or we've had governor's meetings or something that take up time in the evening, we do like to just sit down at the end of the day and watch something on TV together. I mean, I know, you know, you and I both have a penchant for some of those various crime series and things like that. We've worked our way through Grey's Anatomy and CSI and things like that. So it's just like that switch off. A TV program is a switch off at the end of the day. And then, you know, we'll be going to bed. We'll be planning on going to bed by 9 o'clock. So late night, I mean, we do late night things, but we really suffer if we do late night things.
Okay, so you do late night things, but that's not the norm. You normally manage to and again, if you could just do one thing later in the day, what would that be like?
I think it is actually it's the watching something on TV. Sometimes it will just be a property program, you know, 20 minute property in the sun or something. It doesn't have to be a 45 minute thing, but it's almost like that's our full stop to the day.
Wonderful.
Regardless of where we've been, what we've been doing during the day, we do that together. And it is like that full stop, pause, bed.
Wonderful. And I'd love to ask if you could send some love and care and advice back to younger you, what that might be, what that might look like, how that would feel.
I think it would be trust in yourself. I think I've always been a fairly not trusting myself type person, you know. There must be other people's, I'm actually very sort of self-referenced, if you like.
Yeah.
However, I don't necessarily always trust, and certainly as a child, I didn't trust.
Yeah.
So I think it's having reminded myself, funnily enough, I reminded myself on a trip to Dublin that I reconnected with my spiritual side, my spiritual self, crystals and things like that.
Yeah.
And I wish that I had had more of that when I was young, when life was very much more just practical and pragmatic and that
Yeah.
sort of thing. It's that trust in what's inside.
Yeah.
I would love my younger self to be more trusting of what's in me.
Yeah.
Be okay with being a bit different and a bit quirky.
Absolutely. Oh. Well, thank you so much. I'm going to include all your information and around the conference and ANLP and rapport in the show notes. But where would you like listeners and viewers to find you? Where might, and I'm also really conscious you're going to say not on social media.
Yeah, not on social media. I mean, there's the ANLP website, www.anlp.org. You can contact us on there. There's a contact
yeah.
form. The NLP professional website and the NLP conference website, but probably the key one is anlp.org. So you can get, and my email address that you can get hold of me is members@anlp.org. So all of those things.
Ah, well, it's been a delight as always to talk to you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Eve. It's been an absolute pleasure.
So Karen also has a gorgeous shake that she has as a nutritious wherever she is. So can you say a little about that?
Yes, I was just saying that regardless of where I am, what I'm doing, around 11 a.m. or whenever it is, because we do this 16:8, whatever it is, thingy, where we only eat during 8 hours.
Intermittent
a day.
Fasting.
That's the phrase I was looking for, intermittent fasting. But I have this same shake that regardless of what's on offer, pastries, cakes, full English breakfast, no, I just have my shake, which is a basis of bananas and hazelnut milk. It's got chia seeds and psyllium husk and blueberries and things like that. And it just sets me up for the day. And I really miss it if I don't have it. So I now have a portable blender thing that I can take anywhere with me. And I was a few weeks ago, I was actually sitting in the car in between meetings, making my portable
brilliant.
Before the next meeting.
Wow. Thank you again.
You're welcome.
Thank you for listening to the Feel Better Everyday podcast. If you haven't already, please rate, review, like, subscribe, share, comment, all the things that help a little independent podcast get heard by more people. I'd love to know what you're going to do differently as a result of listening to today's episode. Is there any part of you that's tempted to start getting up at 4:30 in the morning? And I hope you'll enjoy next week's episode, where I'm talking to the delightful Dr. Karen Ward. She's a psychotherapist and a trainer, she and a supervisor, and she developed the energy therapy technique. She's a wonderful woman, bringing Celtic shamanic work into psychotherapy and counselling, and in such a gorgeous, gorgeous healing way. Her work has had an enormous impact on my life, and I can't wait to share her interview next week. This episode was produced by me, your host, Eve Menezes Cunningham, and I'll see you next week. Thanks again for listening.